not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you back to the Full Gorilla Life podcast. And today we have a guest, a friend of the podcast, Rob Seeley. Rob Seeley is the owner of Hammond Home Services. And before we really get into the deep dive with Rob, we're going to go ahead and go into the Gorilla Gauntlet.
Gorilla Gauntlet. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Married or single?
I'm smingle. So I'm both.
Smingle. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Right on. Any children?
Four.
Wow.
20, 16, 9, and 1.
Whoa.
So from 20 to 1 is the range.
That's it.
So you're going to start over in 20 years?
That's it. I'm done. I'm done.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I was 20 or 21 when my dad had my brother. So yeah. I'm the older of that type of situation. Right. So right on. iPhone or Android?
Android.
Favorite movie or
book? Whoa. This is our first Android.
That's fair.
I noticed that.
So let's
delve into that.
Have you always been Android?
No, I had an iPhone way back. iPhone 4.
iPhone 1.
So yeah, iPod.
Yeah. Now why Android?
I tried Android, Samsung. Went to the Note, and that was it.
Never looked back.
Had LG, don't like LG. Went straight back to the Samsung Note.
Yeah. So you had Samsung first, and then went to LG, and then came back.
Yeah, started with iPhone.
I feel like a lot of times what you start with, in this case it isn't, but a lot of times you get so comfortable with it, you don't want to switch up at that point.
I like the Note because of the S Pen. So okay. I can, you know, my handwriting, I could turn into text.
But I feel like Samsung is almost... I know it's on the Android platform, but it's almost its own sec too.
It is.
Do they hold your information like Apple does?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like once you're wrapped into Apple, they got ecosystem. All my music, they have all my, you know, movies,
because they don't have, it's not just that single platform. So like you have to utilize your own platform for movies, music.
Okay.
So maybe they do, but I'm just not that far into it.
I gotcha. But you could switch to another, make a phone and it not bother you really, other than actually using the phone.
Right.
Because for me, you know, I could use an Android phone, but all my iTunes stuff doesn't transfer over to Android. So they have me locked in.
And we had iTunes for a long
time. I say that with a grain of salt because I know I can leave whenever I want to, but for my ease, I just stay with it.
Yeah. And I had iTunes for a long time because it started with an iPod, an iPhone. Uh-huh. Then my kids had iPods. Then they went to iPads, and then my oldest is iPhone all the way. He won't own anything else. Got the watch.
Yeah,
you know he's
he's in it.
But you're like for the long haul.
Yeah, he's a techie. You know, he's all techie all the time.
So, right on.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite movie or book?
That's a tough one. It's because it's two movies. Remember the Titans and Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge is the
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of for a second.
A war movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it about a certain battle though, isn't it?
Yes. No? It's when they took a certain hill. I'm
it's
sorry.
Probably called Heartbreak
I'm
Ridge.
Sorry for all the veterans that listen, and it's like I don't know what that hill is. To me it's not just about the war in itself, it's about what he did with those guys.
Okay. Is it Vietnam?
No, it's
further back than that, right?
I think it's around that era.
Okay.
I think it really is.
Yeah. I couldn't remember. It's been a long time.
It's been
I feel like I
watched it.
I have to watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that one as well.
Yeah.
Remember the Titans? I've watched that movie so many times. I'll watch it every time it comes on. Doesn't matter where it's at.
Strong Side.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
It is a good movie. Beer, whiskey, or wine?
Beer.
Modelo?
Always.
No, it doesn't have to be Modelo.
But that's your go-to, though.
Yeah, Modelo, Sol.
Sol?
Yeah.
What is that?
Del Sol.
Sol. Yes.
Just
Sol. Oh, yeah. SOL?
Yeah, the SOL.
Yeah.
There, you've introduced that
I did.
Me, but what Larry does is he drinks down and then fills it back up with tequila.
Yeah, yeah.
And then throws
and then the lime and then turns it.
It's off the charts.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. I bet. So I'm like a Tecate.
I like.
Yeah, so kind of mix it up.
So the cerveza.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can appreciate that. I like that. Favorite genre of music?
Definitely hip hop.
Okay.
Old school or new school?
A mixture.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Who do I need to listen to that's new? Because everybody sucks.
I couldn't tell you somebody's names. I couldn't tell you either.
And I feel like I listen to it here.
Like I've been watching the evolution of hip hop on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh man, if you're into hip hop, you gotta watch it.
Really?
But yes. I've been telling everybody.
Okay.
Like, it is. If you're into hip hop and you've been into hip hop since, you know, since it really started, not mainstream, because it really didn't become mainstream until like the 90s.
Right.
When like P. Diddy and all those guys jumped in, then it started becoming mainstream. But like in the early 80s.
With like Rakim and
Run DMC. And
even before those
guys.
Yeah, so like
Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh, definitely Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
But it's just an awesome show. The documentary's awesome.
Oh, that song Apache is like the most sampled song ever.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
It's a great song.
Yeah, and look at those guys. Those guys were doing it in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely I like both. I like the older school stuff, but I still like some of the new school stuff because the beats have changed. You know, the way they sound have changed. They do a lot of sampling.
Yep.
You know, so it's a lot different than it used to be, I think.
Well, that's definitely true. The access to music is a lot different too, because you can, somebody can have 200,000 followers and make a living on YouTube and have good music, but not have to be signed by a record company or something like that.
Well, even Post Malone, I think that's how he was found. He just uploaded YouTube. His stuff to SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then he went to sleep, and the next day he had like I don't know, whatever amount of downloads.
I heard that story. It was like overnight.
Yeah.
He was like, what?
Yeah. And it just blew up.
I just started listening to this dude, Teddy Swims. I said like a couple hundred thousand people on YouTube because that's how many people follow him. But like the dude is like, he's like an R&B folk. I don't even know what you
put. How many followers?
Couple hundred thousand, like,
man, yeah, but you mentioned him on here, so he's gonna go like a couple hundred and like 20.
Yeah,
yeah, he's gonna go up a few, a good handful.
Totally.
Dude, you're welcome, Teddy.
Yeah,
and the only thing he really has on there that I found is like cover songs, but I'm like, dude is off the charts, like, amazing. I feel like
that gets you found though, like a cover song, so I'm like, Google,
because
YouTube, search it, and then boom, and then they hear him and they listen to him, and then he can make his own music. And
yeah, because if I release my rap songs. No one's gonna want to hear it. They're gonna want to hear me rap.
Nobody ever did hear those. I'm still waiting to hear those.
Send them to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen.
So not to get far off, but what about Small Town Titans? Have you guys ever heard of Small Town Titans? They're a cover band, like alternative.
Okay.
They've done like Folsom River Blues or whatever that song is by
Johnny Cash.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Did a remake of that.
Let's check them out. Those are always fun.
They did the Piano Man.
Those are always
fun. Remake of the Piano Man.
In alternative?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Gourds?
No.
They redid Gin and
Blues,
Juice.
Right?
I'm sorry, Bluegrass. Kind of like a Bluegrass feel. And they redid Gin and Juice. Yeah, they did a couple. And they did a really good job. The Gourds.
Yeah.
That's not who Flower said he had coming, right?
No.
No.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Bluegrass band.
Yeah, but I don't remember the name, but that wasn't it.
Okay.
I think I would recognize it. Yeah.
Either way, we're going to crash it.
There you go. All right. what do you drive?
Multiple cars. My daily is a Dodge Ram 2500.
Okay.
Cummins. I was about to say Cummins.
No gas.
Two by or four by?
It's actually a two-wheel drive.
Okay.
I got a smoking deal on it. I couldn't pass it up. You know, and
can't fault everybody.
I'm not a mutter.
Okay.
I'm not an off
here's my guy. Thing.
So it does the job.
Yeah, here's my stance on this. I understand that I hardly ever lock it in four.
Yeah.
But if I ever get stuck in a truck, I'm like, how am I stuck in a truck? This is not acceptable. Yeah. My wife drives a four by right now, and there's probably absolutely no reason for it. My truck has 210,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
It's four by, but I would beat the crap out of my truck. I drive over trees in the back of my property. I use it as a truck. Yeah, it earns its keep. But I do understand the two-wheel drive is much more practical most of the time.
I tow a trailer every day.
I know, but every time I go to buy one, I'm like, I've owned plenty of two-wheel drives.
Yeah.
Just at this moment in my life. both the trucks we have are
four-wheel. Next time I do a truck, it'll be a four-wheel drive for sure. But yeah. I'm going to go to a dually, so...
It's much nicer for towing, sure. man. Yeah. That's so much nicer.
And we got a gooseneck that we tow, and
yeah,
you know, single car trailer, single enclosed trailer. So
yeah,
and the single enclosed I tow every day. So
okay,
I have a rug in the back of my truck.
That's another story. We're gonna have to get to that. Yeah, the guy with a broom. I want to know why you have a rug in the back of your truck. But anyway, so
yeah,
so you drive to the restaurant.
Wait. Hold on. We're not done with cars yet.
Let's we had transitioned.
No, okay.
My apologies, okay. People.
That's okay.
He said multiple cars. All right. What's your other truck? What's your pride and joy?
My Isuzu, 87 Isuzu. I built for my 20-year-old. The original plan was to build it for him when he turned 16. But I don't really think he was into it as much as I was. So
it's understandable.
You know, yeah. So I thought
sometimes when you're young, you just don't understand what cool is.
Yeah.
That, well, there's just
he knows what cool is, but it's just my definition of cool.
That's what I was gonna say. There's different definitions of cool.
He's an import kid. You know, he's into imports. So he's into the tuners. He's
into the stance.
He's into it big time. And you know what? I was against it at first until he took me to a show.
And listen, I'm not against it. I've never done it, and it doesn't. It's one of those things where I'm like, to me, it doesn't look that cool.
Yeah.
I understand, like, they spend a lot of money on their stuff, and
it's crazy.
There's a whole industry there, but for me, it's just, I guess I'm more old school.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. I want it laid low. I want it before 1985, which I know isn't that old school. I hear all you people out there.
Hot rod guys are going,
before 85. Yeah. But listen, anybody that knows has a C10 feels like they have, you know, 10 gold bars sitting in their bank account.
Now they do,
So that's why I say pre-87, actually.
If you go 67 to 72 C10, you do have those gold bars.
It's absolutely insane. And, you know, I look at them all the time. I'm constantly on every marketplace or Craigslist, and it's a rust bucket, and they feel like they're worth $20,000.
I see them advertised for $70,000-$80,000.
Well, they saw it on Barrett Jackson once, you know, it sold for $100,000. So,
what's Barrett Jackson?
Car auction.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I know we got off on a tangent there.
My bad. No, that's good. That's good.
No, it's okay.
This is the longest gauntlet ever. Like, I'm starting to sweat.
Are we going to the next question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Listen, he had a much cooler truck than a two-wheel Dodge Cummins, okay?
That is very...
All right.
I apologized. I backed out.
You got to be a Ford guy.
No, that's I'm a Chevy guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm Chevy, all right? Okay. Listen, I don't want my stuff to break down, okay? I use it.
Redirections.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, we're good. All right. Reservation or just walk in?
Twofold. Small party, you know, like.
Are you doing this for him?
No. Because you've listened to this before? I believe this way. Small party like ourselves, my wife and I, or soon to be wife and I, and two kids. Yeah, we're just going to walk in. But we do big parties a lot too. So definitely reservation.
Yeah,
and,
that's exactly what I try to tell him.
An hour or so ahead. Listen, or maybe hours ahead.
Jeremy plays this off every time.
No, this is exactly what I do. And they're going to say he calls in a Chick-fil-A. That joke's old. I can never win this because anytime I have someone on my side, it's a 2-2. So it's always a tie.
Yeah.
It's always a lose or a tie in this situation. But anyway, I appreciate that answer.
Well,
wait.
And again, so my
I'm not going to let you get your word in court.
My ex-wife's in the food industry. So, a manager of a restaurant, local restaurant, and they get hammered with a big party. It's
frustrating.
It's tough.
You want to let them know you're coming. I think so. I agree.
The Chick-fil-A isn't a joke. It's a fact.
I've never. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
I didn't know they had call ahead.
They don't. Favorite type of food.
Oh, man.
How do you know they don't, Jeremy?
Stop interrupting him.
This was a tough one. I'm just going to, just a single everyday thing I'll go to is chili dogs.
So
chili dogs.
So this is your last meal. You're about to
chili dogging it. I'm chili
really?
Dogging it.
Yeah, a steak
all the time. Yeah,
with cheese.
Definitely. Oh, cheese. Yes, definitely.
Onions? Now, what kind of cheese? Like the sprinkled on type or like the sauce?
Oh no, sprinkled on like shredded cheese.
Really?
Yeah. Let it melt a little bit with the hot chili.
Our best.
That's what I'm talking
onions,
about.
Onions, like almost like you can't even see the chili and cheese anymore. There's so many onions on there.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. That's my
all right. What's the best chili dog in Tri-County area?
Oh man, I'm gonna have to just lean on Long Doggers. Yeah. I love Long Doggers. Actually, we're going to lunch there tomorrow.
More than Mustard's Last Stand?
I've never been to Mustard's. I hear that all the time. I got to check that out.
Yeah.
I've never been to Long Doggers. And I have. That's up in Palm Bay, right?
Yeah, there's three locations. Not advertising for them, but yeah, definitely. Palm Bay is the one we always go to because that's where we're usually closest to.
Yeah, I'm going to say I've had both.
Yeah. And you're a Mustard's guy?
I just think that they're a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
Personally, but nothing as Long Doggers is good.
Yeah, the kid works for me. He's a Mustard's guy too. You know, he's definitely Mustard's over Long Doggers.
Well, they have like 75 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't know whether you see my Mustard's Last Stand video or not.
No, I haven't. I got to check not it out.
Corey's a Nazi. He gave a 6.2893.
Listen, I'm not a hot dog guy. My wife
wants
to go to Mustard's Last Stand. Yeah.
God bless her.
It's right down the street from Burger Palace. I'm like, we can go get real food.
Yeah. Why not get her the hot dog and then she could eat it at Burger Palace outside that little patio? Anyway, now I'm making it longer.
We got class. All right. We're not walking into a restaurant with other restaurants' food, okay?
Mason, yeah, when you have a kid, you'll
get it. Yeah, when your kid gets older and only wants Burger King, you'll see.
Yeah, yeah. One time I walked into Fishbone, right? What's it called?
Bonefish.
Thank you.
Bonefish Grill.
Yeah, I walked into Bonefish with a bag of Burger King.
I was there for that.
Were you?
Yeah, it was a Christmas.
Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, you can't.
We made a reservation.
They said you can't breathe in. I said, are you going to deny this big party? They said no. I said thank you.
Yeah. So you would rather have Burger King over Bonefish?
Not me.
His son.
Your son. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It makes sense, right?
Understood. We cater to our kids.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, that's what we do.
It is what it is.
They think chicken fries are good. They're not.
It's not. Different definition of cool.
And you can definitely tell the difference between an Impossible Whopper and the real Whopper.
Can you?
And there's only 30 calorie difference as well. Yeah. So what's the point?
Just go to the Whopper.
Yeah, all right. Go with it.
Now, I do need to try out the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Yeah, I do too. I'm definitely down for that, you know?
Yeah. It looks good in the photos.
So does a Whopper.
I mean, this is true. It's very true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. New added question. What's your spirit animal?
If you could pick one animal
that represents you, spirit animal.
The most.
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
See, you were like the one guest that was prepared for this.
Yeah, you were ready for all of them. I threw it on there. Yeah.
So you
I added that just now as we sat down.
Don't say snail because your industry does not.
No, I can't be a snail, but you know, a lion is too big.
Is it?
I feel like a lion's too big for, I mean, my personality kind of fits it.
Okay. I feel like that's what popped in your head. So I think,
I'm running with a lion.
All right. A lion.
Just due to, lions got heart.
Okay.
And they've got to roar when they need to. And it is most of the time they walk around with their chest out.
I think they sleep like 20 hours a day.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
I wish I could.
And last question, city you live in?
It's considered Vero Beach, but Vero Lake Estates.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. All right.
Born and raised in Vero.
All right, so I do think that is the record for the longest.
It is.
Gauntlet, but that was fun.
I need a new shirt. I'm sweating so bad. We're going to
get like a Guinness Book, little black up.
Exactly.
Longest running gauntlet.
But hey, hopefully Glenn finds us. Very entertaining.
Yeah, this is the only reason we made it this long is so Glenn can find it entertaining. And Glenn, you know which Glenn we're talking about.
Exactly. All right. So maybe we can get a little bit of history, right? Why you're here, right? You're here to talk about your entrepreneurial, et cetera. But maybe we can talk about the path that has gotten you here, right?
Okay.
So I personally know you from way back when.
Sure.
Through a friend, mutual friend, Wes.
Right. Yep.
And you used to do like
car audio so I started life in construction working with my dad as a young I was 16 working with him. Left that industry, had an opportunity. I just got into car audio when I was like 16-17 years old, just working in the garage. Just, you know, I had a friend of mine who local entrepreneur again, Jeff Gomez. You know, Jeff was into car audio, and so he and I were pretty close in high school, and so he kind of got me into it. You know, took my car to Audio House, had them do a stereo for me way back when, and I was so disappointed. So I did it myself, and so I pursued car audio when I had opportunity. Went to work for Coastal Communications.
So you were disappointed?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Why?
Because it didn't sound like Jeff's. You know, I mean, Jeff had, you know, Monte Carlo SS, nicest car around, you know, 215s, lots of power.
Where was Audio House at?
Audio House is still on the other side of Miracle Mile Plaza. They're into home audio now. They do home audio more than
it's right
audio.
Near that new, oh, okay. That new next hotel
Pizza
there.
Hut there, right?
Yeah, Pizza Hut over there. I haven't been over there.
I think
so
that's
long.
Across the street. That's yeah. That's like the first
one. Where 2J's is, right?
Yeah, that kind of that same plaza. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But they're a standalone building, right?
Standalone building, yep. Been there yeah, for right a next long to Pizza time. Hut. Yeah. Yeah. So
I think I know a guy that used to work for them, maybe. He branched out on his own.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
So it was a little disappointed because it wasn't like Jeff's, quote unquote, you know. And so I decided I'm going to figure out how to do it on my own. So start building a box. My dad's like, you know, what are you doing? I'm building a speaker box. I don't do it that way. Let me show you how to do it. Okay, Dad, you know how to build a speaker box. You know, you can build houses that you definitely can't build a speaker box. But no, he showed me the way. Okay. Figure out everything I need to know to build a speaker box and make it sound good.
Which at that time invaluable because you didn't have YouTube.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. There wasn't even any internet.
You needed somebody yeah. like that, yeah. though, at that time. What, yeah. I mean, what year was that?
Oh, 87, 88.
Yeah, I mean, invaluable. You had to have somebody yeah. to teach you. I mean, now, I mean, I think we take it for granted. You know, I can't figure something out or, you know, there's something that I want to learn. Yeah. I just flip open YouTube and watch 10 videos and I'm like, I kind of got a yeah. grasp on where they're going it. With this.
Yeah. I can do it. This.
Yep. There's some trial and error on my yeah. side, but eventually I'll be able to get to.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, there's a guy I've been watching recently. He's building his own airplane. And I'm like, I can figure this out.
That's
like,
insane.
He built an airplane in his garage and he's flying it. So that means I can build an airplane in my garage and fly it.
Wow, you've got welding skills. So, yeah. you know, it, yeah.
There I mean, I don't even think it's that. I mean, it's a little TIG welding, but he's more rubber bands and duct tape. Hey, but
that's it.
You heard yeah. it here, folks. Corey will be flying soon enough.
Soon enough.
Be posting that.
So Jeff Gomez, right? So, yep, so you're trying to emulate that sound.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I think everybody was at the time. But so, you know, didn't really have the opportunity. It never really presented itself. So I just continued to work with my dad all through high school, graduated high school, got bigger into cars, kind of, you know, bounced around from cars. And I kind of landed on the one I drove every day, which was an old Mazda B2200, regular cab. Had air shocks on in the 90s.
Oh, man, you got to love the air yeah, shock. Yeah. And then you carry the compressor around with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, a little compressor.
For those of you that don't know, air shocks are in the back, so you yeah, could yeah. cheaply lower no, the
I
back.
I did the front. I did the front.
Oh, you had front ones.
Yeah,
okay. You
so were, we did front, too.
You were high class.
Yeah. yeah.
Very high class. so you could lower the stance on your vehicle.
Yep. So, so I had the opportunity. Jeff actually was knew the guy that owned Coastal Communications, which was a Dave's Communications. And then knew the guy. So Doug had branched out and opened Coastal Communications and was a cellular pager place. And he was looking for somebody to install cell phones. And I'm like, I have no idea. Two-way radios, you know, because that was our cell phone back then. Our portable yeah. cell phone was that two-way radio in the car. The Grove guys were using them all the time. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go down there and talk to him. So I went down there and talked to him. And, you know, we went from pagers and cellular phones to car audio, window tint, accessories, you know, and this was long before Fast and the Furious.
That wasn't Dave's though anymore, right?
It was not Dave's. It okay. was, there's a scooter place there now on US 1. It's across the street.
From Dyer there?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was a, so FL Sound Effect, Lake Audio, they were next to Delta Lighting. And then we were across the street from Delta Lighting, same side of the road.
Okay.
And so we, you know, Tony and I at FL, we were competitors, but at the same time, we were friends. So if okay. I couldn't do something, I'd send him over there. If he couldn't do something, he'd send him to me. You know, so it worked out. And I did that for 7 or so years working for Doug. And I had a customer, Scott, again, another local guy, Steiger. And he kept bugging me, man, let's open up a shop. Let's open up a shop. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So he moved off to Kentucky and I finally decided, okay, it's time. Let's open up a shop. And I called him, let's open up a shop. And he's like, man, I live in Kentucky now. I'm like, all right, well, I missed my opportunity. So he called me a week later and said, I moved back. Let's talk about opening a shop. I'm like, all right.
So did he move back because of this conversation?
I have no idea.
You never asked him?
I think he did.
Okay.
Because this is what he didn't want to be in the Groves. He didn't want to work in the Groves. I mean, his family's green citrus, you know, so he didn't want to be in the Groves. I mean, He didn't. It just wasn't his avenue. So we opened up Extreme Car Audio, and we were on Old Dixie for years, and then we moved out off of Oslo. And we just kind of, I think we both kind of lost momentum along the way, you know, and by this time I had my son, and, you know, everything was going good. We had a blast. When I tell you we had a blast. I mean, I couldn't have had more fun as a small business owner. We had no idea what we were doing. I'd never ran a small business by myself, paying taxes every month on the business, you know, payroll for him and I. We brought on an employee. What are we doing? So, you know,
you figure it out as you go, though.
Yeah, we
that's
did.
Part, that's how you
we,
do it.
We yeah. did, you know, pay taxes, state taxes every month, you know, quarterly taxes. And it was, and then of course, at the end of the year, accountant did the, you know, the yearly taxes, but learned a lot about myself. I think Scott learned a lot about himself. We kind of parted ways, kind of not the way we really wanted to, sure. But we parted ways. I wanted to continue to grow. But I didn't feel like Car Audio was where I was going to grow, because by this time, I'm going to say that was, probably about 15, maybe even 17 years ago. So by this time, now you've got the introduction of the internet, you know, so you've also got the introduction of being able to buy online, not as big as it is now. So I kind of lost momentum. I decided I want to go to a different direction. And we had our daughter. So I was like, yeah, I kind of need a second job. So I wanted to allow my ex-wife, Patricia, to stay home with our daughter a little bit longer than with our son. So I picked up a second job, went to work for Lowe's. I wanted to go to work for Home Depot because that's where I shopped all the time. I didn't shop at Lowe's because it was too much of a pain, and I had to go across the street. You know, and I live south of 60.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to work at Home Depot, but nope, they didn't call me back. So I went to work at Lowe's, and worked my way up the ranks at Lowe's 12 years, opened up the Palm Bay location, had that opportunity, which was an amazing opportunity. We did mass hiring, where you're hiring 160 employees, you Jeez. Know, and there's five of us that are.
So at that time, did it turn into full-time then at that point?
Yeah, it did. It kind of did. I left the shifted. Shop. Yeah, I had the opportunity. I started part-time. That was in 2000.
So how hard was that though? Right? Because like you said, you were having so much fun.
We were having a blast, but I think I needed to grow up. I think I needed that opportunity to grow up. I still wanted to party and have fun, and, you know, and we partied and we had fun. But I think I needed something to nail me down. So with Lowe's, I was part-time, and that was in, I started 03. So what's that? 16 years ago. So, I started in 03, and then 04, the hurricanes hit, and, you went from, you know, part-time, no business at the shop, because who's getting Car Audio at this point? You know, everybody's right. got power out, trees down, everything. So
yeah,
I was doing 70, 80, 90 hours a week at this local Lowe's in Vero. And I hustled 7 days a week. Overtime was wide open. So one of the guys there was like, man, we got to get you full time. And back then it was a buddy system. You know, it wasn't like it is now. So I had the opportunity to go full time, went full time, worked my way up the ranks and became an assistant store manager, and wanted to continue to grow. Applied to open the St. Lucie West Lowe's, was interviewed. When I thought it was my best interview ever, and I didn't get the job. So I was like super bummed out because all my buddies are leaving. They're going down St. Lucie West, and here I am stuck in Vero, you know? So here comes this little scrawny little guy, you know, bald in the middle, like hair up, like he almost, I call it a Bill Hawk because his name's Bill.
It's like the yeah. Bill Murray and Kingpin.
Yeah, 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 definitely yeah. hair up, yeah. you know, just this little comb over hair. And here he comes. And he's like, are you Rob? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Rob. Who are you? He's like, oh, I'm a store manager in Palm Bay. I'm like, Palm Bay? There's no store in Palm Bay. There's going to be. Oh, wow. Whoopee. You know, and he's like, I'm going to talk to you later today. And I was like, oh, great. Can't wait. You know, I hated everybody at this point. You know, I was negative on everything. I wanted to do things my way. That's it. I'm not open to, you know, any other way. I was very closed-minded. Bill came out and said, you're coming to work for me in Palm Bay. You're going to open that store. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And he said, look, you stay here, you ain't going to make it. You're going to be gone in 6 months. You got a target on your back because you're negativity and you're just not going to make it.
That's, you know, pretty solid of him.
Yeah. So I didn't know this guy from anybody. So I said, okay, it's Thursday. So, you know, when a couple weeks, no, Monday, I'll see you Monday in Palm Bay. So like I worked Friday and then Saturday, Sunday, I was off and went to work for him Monday, you know, and wasn't super close to him in the beginning because he's a store manager and he's a black and white guy, you know? So, you know, he didn't let anybody in that inner circle. And then over the years, he kind of let his guard down, you know, when he taught me a lot. I mean, you know, you guys talked about having mentors and stuff like that and building success off of, you know, your success is built because you had somebody show you the way or somebody that continues to teach you or even just believes in you.
Yeah.
You know, so, he believed in me, you know, he saw something.
It's so powerful though, when, especially when you don't see it in yourself, especially when, you know, you've been turned down for that job so many times or, you know, you feel like you're stuck in a rut and somebody sees something in you that you don't even see in yourself because maybe you've been beat up at that point, you know, so much. And I think everybody gets there. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's like.
Yeah. And everybody I feel has that imposter syndrome where they feel that they're being an imposter despite whatever, even when you're doing a great job, a lot of times you feel like I'm at the very beginning.
Like you don't belong there.
You don't belong there. I'm kind of right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
But when somebody, you know, somebody sees something in you, a coach or a mentor or, and they see that into you and they can, not only do they see it in you, but they can figure out how to get you out of that funk or bring something else out of you.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, so, you know, we'll fast forward a couple of years. We opened the store. Store was in our eyes, it was wildly successful. I mean, here I am an assistant store manager now, salary, you know, insurance, bonus structure was huge. When I first started working for Lowe's and promoted up 40% of your salary as a bonus, you know, as long as the store hits its budget, if you, you know, and if you max that budget, which is 6%. So if you're 6% over your budget, then you max that to 40%.
Okay.
You know, so 40% of a decent salary is, it doesn't matter what it is.
So, so how long were you in Palm Bay then at that Lowe's?
I was at that location for 8 years.
And so 8 years, and now you're in a different place now. What transitioned from there?
So, while I was in Palm Bay, I bounced through the store. So I got to learn the whole store. Wasn't just an assistant store manager in one location, you know, one section of the store. I got to run the whole store, was pursuing an avenue to promote. So at this time they had an admin manager, which was the paperwork side of the business.
Okay.
And they had an ops manager, which was kind of like the right hand to the store manager. So the ops manager managed all the managers and then all your managers managed all the people. So I wanted to be the admin manager because it was something that I never really quite understood, the paperwork side of things, but I wanted to learn it. So when I went through the training, it was like a 7-week training. When I went through the training, I was like, yo, I can do this. I'm totally disorganized. I have no idea what I'm getting into, but I can pull it off. I thought I could do it. So never had the opportunity to promote because after I got out of the training, they did away with those positions. So kind of crazy.
Retail for you though.
Yeah.
Always, so they restructured. Always restructuring, changing, trying to figure something else out. Yeah.
So I think it was a blessing in disguise because when those positions, when they restructured, they eliminated those positions. So if you didn't have open positions in the store, they let you go. You know, here's a severance pay and see you later. Bye.
Oh yeah.
So, we went through another restructure, you know, to where it was just, now we had two assistant store managers. So it was myself and one other guy. And then the store manager. We're a low volume store. So we did okay. We were able to pull it off. Then I decided I want to move up. I want to be where Bill is. That was my store manager. And again, that's a guy who came and got me. This little goofy guy, you know, this guy knew his stuff. And, you know, what I learned from Bill is to be successful, you've got to surround yourself with successful people. So, you know, you don't have to be the best manager in the store that knows everything. You need those people under you that know everything that you don't. So
it's a good way to put it. Like
that. He built his team off of his weaknesses. He was able to identify what his weaknesses were. And that's the team he put together when we opened that store. And we were successful. We had a blast together. It was awesome, you know, but I wanted more. I wasn't happy with just a salary and 40%. I wanted at the time, the store manager was getting 100% of their bonus or of their salary. So if you're making six figures a year as a store manager, you're getting a six figure bonus, you know? Wow. So yeah. So in the beginning, it was definitely a money driver. It was monetary because, I didn't make a lot of money leading up to this. So for me to go to work for Lowe's, that was the most money I ever made in my life. So for me, it was like, yeah, let's pursue the monetary dream right now. And let's go after it. So
it's kind of weird how that works though, because I feel like, you know, people that have maybe been content in their jobs, like, yeah, you know, doing audio and stuff like that, just making it by.
Yeah.
And then they get in a job where they start making money. I feel like, and maybe this did happen for you, maybe it didn't, but I feel like they can lose sight of whether they're really happy or not, and they just get that money in their mind, and they just chase that money. They're like, oh, it's fun to make $100,000. Let me try and make $150,000.
Right. So I think that's the avenue I went down, and I never really realized it. Uh-huh. So it was, you know, the hours sucked. I mean, yeah, we would, you know, I'd go to work at 4 a.m. I wouldn't get home till 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night.
And then by that time, you just want to go to bed.
Yeah. And I mean, because I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive. You know, by this time I'm divorced. Patricia and I had, you know, parted amicably, which we're still, as odd as it may sound, we're still friends.
Sure.
You know, I'm not saying this because she may listen to the podcast, but she, you know, without her raising our kids the way she did, they wouldn't be where they are, my two oldest kids. And then, you know, their stepdad. It's, you know, you gotta pat that guy on the back, his family too, because they took on my kids and made them their kids. And I've told them this, you know, how much I appreciate them. So let's just keep going through the job, and I don't want to jump off of that, my kids or anything, but so we had parted ways. So I chased money for a while. You know, I had no clue what I was still doing. I decided, being single, not seeing the kids a lot now, and being through the divorce, it was a tough time. So I kind of went down a dark alley, you know, drinking a lot. Just kind of got lost. And
it's easy to do.
And again, if it was, and at this time, this was right before I met Bill, I went down this whole alley. So this guy kind of drug me out of this alley, per se. You know, so I fast forward back again to Lowe's, and I want to become a store manager. So I took this test. Got to take an assessment, you know, and it's a black and white assessment. There's no gray. So I'm not a black and white guy. So I'm a gray thinker. So I bombed it. So once you bomb that test, you can't take it again for a year. So now I'm stuck. So I got to go back and enjoy my job every day again for a year.
That's hard to do because you're trying to get here.
Yeah.
And you can't do it. Right. So you have to stay here. Yep. And to stay, like you're saying, that mindset, yep, that's not an easy task.
Had an opportunity to go all over with the store now, because now I'm trying to become a store manager. So I traveled around the market, the district per se, throughout 11 stores at the time. So we went all the way down to Lake Park, terrible store at the time, you know, not just terribly run, but just they were so busy that their teams didn't know what to do. So we went down there and worked a lot. And again, learned a lot about myself. And so a year goes by, take that test again. Yeah, I bombed it again. And this time I thought I really did well. I really thought, okay, I've learned to think black and white. You know, I've answered these questions the way they want, and I still bombed it. So at this point now I'm like, okay, it's my second time. I got to wait again another year to take this test. Is this really what I want to do? Do I want to continue in the retail business? And again, the hours were friggin' terrible. You know, I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. It's salary. So, yeah, you know, no matter how you look at it, it's a 70 hour week on a 40 hour pay.
Oh, man.
You know, if you want to look at it that way. So the more you work, the less you make.
Right.
So it's by even the hour, more discouraging,
sure,
you know?
So this definitely got you in a place of next steps.
Yeah.
So, and now you're in a different step.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, still working. I work the pro side of the business in Lowe's. So I worked a lot with the contractors, and we had met a guy. His name is actually Tiny. That's his name.
Okay.
So his name is B.B. Burns. So B, the letter B, Burns. And so he goes by Tiny. Obviously, you know, he's not a small guy.
Okay.
So this guy's bald head, tattoos, coming in. Oh, just buying tons of stuff all the time, spending all kinds of money. So I finally was like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, man, I'm remodeling these homes. And I'm making, he told me, I'm making $5,000 a week remodeling houses. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, a couple more months, I'm going to be making $10,000 a week. I'm like, what? Hold on. You got to tell me about this. He's like, come to this address. So he gives me an address. He's like, come out here. So I go out to the house to take a look at what he's doing. I'm like, I can do this. All the while, I had no clue what I was going to do.
You know? Fake it till you make it, baby.
Yeah, right. Sometimes you can pull that off.
Yeah.
So it was, I grew up in the industry again with my dad, and I learned so much from my dad, that stuff I never even realized I kept, you know. So I went back to Bill, and I was, you know, Bill was like, I'm going to retire next year. And I'm like, okay, well, when you retire, I'm out. I'm not staying. I'm going. If you're going to retire, I know you're not going to retire because you're going to go find something else to do. So I want a part of that. So this time, at this time, Bill and I were super close, you know, so I was kind of his right hand man in the store. We talked on the phone every day. We had become really close. You know, he knew my family. I knew his family, you know, so really I'm thankful for that guy because he pulled me back up to where I needed to be. So again, he got into a bind. He's a gray guy, and made a statement, you know, in the store, and that statement ultimately cost him his job. So he basically was told, either you leave, you know, retire, or we're just going to take you out. So, you know, he told me, look, I got some things to sort out. I'll let you know what's going on. Give me a couple of days. Okay. So I'm running the store in his absence. He calls me. He's like, okay, I got everything sorted out. I'm leaving. Okay. I'm leaving next Friday. So I'm like, oh man, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to leave yet. I still want to stay with Lowe's. So, and right about that time, this guy Tiny had said, look, if you want to get into this house deal with me, why don't you stay working at Lowe's? And why don't you start remodeling houses on the side? You can do it on the side. You can do it. I'm like, all right. And I talked to Bill about it. Bill's like, let's go look at one of these houses. So now we go look at a house, and he's like, can you do this? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. And then in the inside, I'm saying, nope, no way. I don't know if I can or I can't. But he's like,
we'll figure this out.
Yeah. He's like, so you've done all of this. And I'm like, oh, all of it. Yep. So we went out and
start a podcast too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done this before.
Yeah, but you guys are killing it right now. Enough about you guys. Let's talk about me.
That's fair.
So he leaves on a Friday. So I had Saturday and Sunday, and Monday Bill and I were actually going to start remodeling a house. It's going to be our first house. So I go in Monday, and it's just, we're having this store meeting, and now it's all the management, and the district manager is like, okay, we're not going to do things the way Bill did anymore. For those of you, and he's staring at me, for those of you that are, you know, Bill's sidekick, those days are gone. And I felt like he's just attacking me. So we took a lunch break, and I walked out to my car, and I wrote a letter of resignation. And I didn't write it. I went into the training room and typed it, printed it out. And
purely emotional?
It was at this point, yeah. It was at this point, because I felt like he was attacking somebody that I respected and somebody that I looked up to, and he may not have been. It was just the way I took it.
Sure.
So I walked in and I turned in my resignation, and I said, I'll give you a 4-week resignation. In 4 weeks, I'm out. That will give you 2 weeks to find somebody, and then 2 weeks to, and then let me train them for 2 weeks. And he looked at me and he said, absolutely not. You're done right now.
Oh, go ahead, wow. He was looking at you then.
Oh yeah, man. Again, a target.
So wait, was he firing you then?
Yeah, he terminated me right there, right then and there.
What was the termination for?
Seems
like a hell of a wrong for termination.
Scene. Yeah, just because. So yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. You're good. I definitely wasn't going to pursue that avenue.
Yeah, but, I'm just,
you know,
in my mind, I'm working every angle.
I kind of got one over on him at the end, though, because, you know, at this point, I'm not going to have any more income. I had a very small amount of bank account. Yeah. Like, I had no cushion whatsoever. I had a month's bills in my bank account.
Yeah.
And I had no idea if we were going to make it, if we weren't going to make it, if we could do this, if we couldn't do it. So HR calls me and says, hey, listen, we're going to go ahead and pay you for those 4 weeks because what he did is not.
Okay. Right. So yeah. So, they didn't actually. I was about to say, he can't, especially a major corporation like that. They're not going to cover. They're going to cover their tracks. Yeah. They're going to say, yes, thank you for this 4 week resignation. We'll pay you for this.
Yeah. They did that to me when I was living here.
Yes. I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was crazy. I mean, I kind of think it was one of those things. It was an unseen situation that like worked out for the best.
Yeah.
You know, so here we are Monday, Bill's in the house peeling stick with a pocket knife because our tools were so limited.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Like when you don't have the right tool for the job.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Pocket knife. You know, working on cars, like, you know, when you don't have the right tool for the job, there's nothing that can be more frustrating.
Crescent wrench.
Especially when you know the right tool is out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you don't have it. You're like,
exactly.
Should I invest in this new set of tools?
Right.
Or this new set of tools?
Right. Oh, yeah.
My wife has finally gotten to the point where she doesn't even question it anymore. Like, if I buy the tool, it's because I need it.
Well, see, and I'm with you on that one. I have a storage unit locally, a 10x20 storage unit that's just for tools.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how many tools we've accumulated over the 5 years that we've been doing this.
Yeah.
I have that many tools at this point. And we started with very minimal.
Yeah.
So, and again, Bill's idea was if we need it, buy it.
Yeah.
If we need that tool, buy that tool.
So he's out there peeling with
it. Yeah. So he's peeling, sticking with a pocket knife. I call him and say, hey, man, tomorrow we'll be working together. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I thought you were going to work on it at night. So I was like, nope, be there tomorrow. So we started off doing the house thing. We did it for about 3 or 4 months. Everything was going good that we thought. The guy that we were doing work for was kind of didn't work out.
Okay.
Tiny was the guy that was feeding us houses. Well, it didn't work out. It was not a very friendly split. It was a financial split where we were chasing our money and we owed a chunk of change. And Bill, you know, he's backwoods Palm Bay guy. Bill pursued him. We got our money and we moved on.
Okay.
Yep.
So we moved on. I mean, sometimes though, I mean, I feel like, you know, I don't know, getting into business with people, especially if you don't know them that well, you know, a lot of people want to talk a big game, you know? Yeah.
And we realize there's no 5,000 a week. There's no 10,000 a week.
Yeah.
You know, he was just blowing smoke.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's a lot of people though.
It's a lot of people.
And we have a million listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. Larry, there's smoke coming out of your nose.
Yeah, I would have thought. I mean,
yeah.
So
no, but it's the people truth, do it. You know? And I mean, we all want to exaggerate to a certain degree, especially depending on who we're talking to.
Well, without a doubt.
You know, it tends to be more strangers than anything. But then when you start something like this, you start calling them on their stuff.
Right.
And then everything tends to crumble very quickly.
Right.
You know, like if somebody talks to me about an opportunity and it seems like a legitimate good opportunity, you know, I start questioning them about it heavily. And then a lot of times it just seems to fall apart. Yeah. Well, that's why it used to be that way.
Right,
or,
right,
you know,
right.
Well, one time we made this much money doing this or, you know, well, my buddy's buddy did it one time that did that. And I'm like,
yeah, you lean in on them a little bit and it just,
you know, cause listen, if there's money to be made and I think that I got a shot at making it, I'm going to legitimately question you about it. You know, if you're talking to me about it most of the time.
Oh yeah.
But I found more often than not,
it's a lie.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to make money than what people.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Actually, and
this,
say
this business is not a very receptive business to break into. So like, if you want to break in the construction industry, no one's going to help you. There's not a single person that's going to open the door and say, "Come have dinner with me, and I will teach you everything."
Especially even if you already know and you don't have your contractor's license, it's just like,
it's even harder.
Oh, it's so awful. If you don't know somebody with a contractor's license, it's like, I can remodel a whole house and know what I'm doing and do it better than half of the subs.
Yep.
But because I don't have a contractor's license and I haven't been working under the right person for the right. And then they still don't have to sign off on me. Am I correct?
I was going to say, then you could probably get kind of, because you have some money on that deal.
Somebody to sign off.
Have it.
Right. So either you have to find somebody that's willing to sponsor you, or you have to have the schooling, the education, or the military. So you have to have military
Oh, I didn't know you could do it with the military.
You can, as far as long as in the military you're studying something similar.
Okay. So if you did like electrical engineering in the military, then you could come out
and you could become an electrician.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a state requirement, and every state's different. So we could be a licensed contractor in the state of Florida and go across the state lines to Atlanta, which we've done a lot of work in Atlanta as well, and go across the state lines to Atlanta and not be legal. You know, or go to North Carolina or South Carolina and not be legal.
But not you guys.
Yeah.
You are legal there.
We are legal.
I just want to specify that for the listeners.
We definitely are. We definitely
they were not doing illegal work in Atlanta. This is not a joke.
We checked legit before we went there. Okay. And that's one thing. Bill's again, he's that black and white guy, but he's also a gray guy, super gray guy.
Yeah.
So he's like, we can make money in Atlanta, but let's make sure that we're going to be legal. What do we need?
Okay.
So once we found out what we needed, we were gone. I mean, we went to Atlanta, did a few houses in Atlanta, you know, stayed there. It was awesome. You know,
so
Florida's where it's at. So we came back to Florida. So let's circle back. So Bill's whole idea is there's always a bigger picture. So Bill's idea is, you know, he pushed me out of my comfort zone every day, even still to this day. We don't see each other every day anymore, mm-hmm. because he's pursuing a different avenue, and then I'm pursuing the main business that we got into. So it's actually my baby at this point, so to speak.
Okay.
And he's still helping financially cover payroll. So payroll's a tough one to swallow.
Okay.
You know, so he's helping me cover payroll, and then I'm, you know, so I've taken the business over. But his idea is I want that guy's position. Constantly. So, you know, he's on that ladder and he's constantly climbing it. So whatever's in his way, who's ever in his way, he's getting that position. So his goal was a year, we're going to take this tiny guy out and we're going to be in his position. We're going to be working for ourselves. And so there was a property management company that was feeding the jobs to us. And again, we don't necessarily do work for the public. We do work for the private sector, which is a group of investors, and it's Main Street Renewal. Main Street Renewal is like the second largest rental company in the U.S. So they buy houses in bulk and they rent them, you know, whether it be Section 8, whether it be, you know, high-end rentals, they rent them. So that's who we do the work for. So that year went by and here goes Tiny. He's gone. So now we're there. So now the next guy that Bill had his eyes on was our property management company. So yeah, we're going to take that spot. We're going to be there next year. So now we're 2 years in, and all of a sudden the property management company that we were doing work for was two guys. They parted ways, you know? So we're like, man, we like this guy, but we really like this guy. You know, what do we do? Which guy do we go with? Thankfully they chose for us. And the guy that chose us is the guy that now Bill is partners with on another avenue. So Bill wanted to be, you want to take out the property management guy, you know, now he's partners with the property management guy. So, and it's just getting bigger, you know? So, and here's Bill, 67 years old.
Hustling.
Yeah, definitely.
He was going to retire. He's got a comfortable retirement. He'll be one of the most comfortable guys when he retires, in my opinion. You know, financially, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that goes to, you know, what is retirement for you, you know?
Yeah, because right. I'm going to, when my retirement will be the day I die. I mean, for me. I mean, I messed it all up for years, didn't save anything.
Yeah.
You live paycheck to paycheck like everybody, you know, and this opportunity has given me, you know, more financial freedom than I've ever seen in my life. Now, I'm not saying you can jump in the construction industry and you can make money hand over fist, because it's just not there. It's not as extravagant as a lot of people think. You've got to put in the time.
So how,
you know, so
if you don't mind my asking, how was your first sale?
We don't sell anything.
No. So how'd you get your first client?
Okay. So we had always worked for Main Street. So we had worked for them even when we were working for Tiny. So we had already done work for them, but we had built such good rapport with all the guys from Main Street. So when the financial side kind of broke on us with Tiny and Bill and I, we didn't do anything for like a few months. And I'm like struggling. I'm eating like chips to, you know, as a gourmet meal at night, because we're out of money.
So you don't work for like a couple months?
Yeah, we didn't work for a few months, like in the beginning. So 5 years ago, we didn't work for almost 4 months, 5 months. And I did not have that much money saved up. So Bill's like, I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Oh, wow. Were you living with him?
No. We had our own house. We had our own house in Vero Lake Estates, and we had just bought our house.
It's a great feeling, right?
So it's awesome feeling, yeah. You know, but.
But a great feeling when you're like, I ain't working for 2 months.
Yeah, it was like 5 months before I had a paycheck.
Yeah.
And then even in the first 5 months.
When you first get the first house, it's going to take time.
Yeah. Right. Even in the first 5 months of doing the work, there was no money coming in. And then so you look at 10 months of no money coming in, and then all of a sudden 10 months later, the money hits because we had to make threats. But, you know, 10 months later, the money hits, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're running now. Now we're running. I got a little bit of money in the bank. I can breathe again. Oh, no, I got to pay Bill back.
Yeah.
You know, so Bill's like, don't worry about it. Just we'll work it out. It's this thing. It's always, we'll work it out.
I can appreciate that.
I'm like, man, I'm dying over here. Cause I don't want to owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
So I have this burden on my chest and my shoulders that I got to pay him back. And we're not talking a small chunk of change. You know, we're talking enough to feed myself, my family, you know, and pay all the bills
for months.
Yeah. So he's like, Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. He's always pushed, you know? And, so here we are, you know, so we took out who we need to take out and, you know, not necessarily take them out. Don't take that the wrong way, but please, there's no bodies anywhere, you know, but so when we first got into it, we thought, oh man, we just need a business license. You know, we're working for a huge company. They've got the contractor's license, or the property management company that we are doing work for has the contractor's license. We're good. We've seen a business license, workman's comp, liability. We're golden. Yeah, we got popped. We got popped by the county and Brevard.
For not having a contractor's?
For not having a contractor's license. And our insurance was incorrect. We didn't have the right liability insurance. So we got popped. We paid a fine. Shut the job down. So now the job's red tagged. Nobody can be inside this job. You know, so, and it's a deadline job. So job sits empty for 3 weeks. So we got our insurance. We go back to the job. We're working. Mind you, again, we don't have a contractor's license still. So we go back to the job, and we're working, and same lady walks in. She doesn't even ring the doorbell. She just walks in the door. That's her job. That's what she does. She drives around Brevard, you know, Port St. John area, looking for contractors, you know, doing work illegally. And so what are we doing? Hey, we're putting a sliding glass door in. I'm holding this sliding glass door while Bill's running some screws in. She's like, I know you guys don't have a permit for that. Oh yeah, no, yeah, we totally do. She's like, no, you don't. I've already run the information, you know. And let me see your insurance. So again, we showed it to her. She's like, yep, this job shut down again, and now you guys are going to pay a larger fine. Ugh. And we're red, you know. So we're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? So Bill's like, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Go home and sit down for a couple of days. Okay, cool. No worries. You know, I can afford rice and beans at this time, so you know we're cool. So we end up meeting up with a guy who is a GC, and he got us on the path. He got us where we need to be. So now we have, Bill decided instead of having his GC license, he wanted his residential contractor's license. You know, so we pursued and got our residential contractor's license, and we've been running on our own now for 3 years. You know, it was a chore. It was a task. You know, and I kind of was always on the outside looking in. I never understood the financial burden that he felt, because I'm just the guy I'm the guy remodeling the houses. That's me. And that was just Bill and I for years. It was just he and I, you know, we're grinding at 5 a.m. and we're working till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, working in Titusville. We're working in Port St. John, working in Cocoa. But it's not the same, you know, now we're working for ourselves. It's awesome. You know, we're working way more hours, you know. Here, my girl is taking care of the kids, you know, and, you know, she's picked up all the pieces behind me because I'm never around right now. And, you know, we grinded for, oh, man, probably a year and a half, 2 years. And we're still with Main Street today. You know, we're still with them. And it's a great avenue. I mean, we've had a blast. It's different, though. I mean, you know, you're still working for somebody. It's not like we're not working in the public sector, which I think as a contractor, everybody wants to bust the door down with the public sector. But the public sector's hard,
yeah.
You know?
So
Think about working for yourself or building a house for yourself. You know, how hard would you be on yourself? Or so that's the same mentality you're going to have on your contractor or the person that does the work for you.
Yeah.
And there's so many people out there that are illegal and doing work, and the public just doesn't know.
You know, yeah, I wouldn't know.
You know, yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
That was one big thing I do remember about the Rich who built my house was, God, he didn't want me. That's why I didn't lay my own tile. And I, being the homeowner, can technically lay my own tile.
Absolutely, you can.
But he didn't even want me in here.
No, yep, right.
It was one of those. Yeah, you know, it's one of the, you know, I can definitely do it, you know, but then I can't technically even bring on a helper.
Right, nope, you can't. You know? Yeah. Unless they have some sort of license.
Yeah, so.
Or unless they're his helper.
I wasn't trying to lay my whole house and tile by myself.
Right.
And he was very strict on that, which I can appreciate, you know, because he's a very, he keeps everything by the book. But like you said, I mean, it's a very serious, you know, that lady walked in and she's shutting the whole job down and it's not worth it to him.
Yeah.
To not have somebody that's not licensed or legal on the job to save a couple hundred bucks a day or something like that.
Without a doubt. Bill's biggest motto is, you know, there's a difference in being right and doing the right thing. So we've constantly done the right thing. We've always gone above and beyond. So, yeah, we might not get paid to do this in this house because it's not on the work order. And I'm kicking myself in the rear because I was just chatting with my girl about it today, and we're just kind of like butting heads about it in the job. I'm not getting paid to do that, so I'm not doing it. And she's like, but you need to. It's the right thing. And there you go. It's, you know, being right. And I felt like I was right because I'm not getting paid for it.
And that's how you get more jobs.
But I was going to say that leads to future.
And, so we kind of go above and beyond. And so we've never changed our mentality of when we started to what we do now. And I think that has what solidified us with Main Street. I mean, now Bill has contractors in South Florida that he's doing work with. He's got contractors in Orlando that are doing work for him, Jacksonville, Tampa. So he's kind of branched out using his contractor's license to its fullest, and he's still working for Main Street. So like he's their go-to guy.
Yeah.
So anytime a job is red flagged in South Florida, you can't rent a house in South Florida without having the county come in and inspect it. So if somebody puts a water heater in, oh, hey, guess what? You can't rent this house because somebody put a water heater in illegally. You need to get a contractor to come down here and pull a permit. And guess what? It can't be a general contractor, residential contractor. It has to be a plumber. So now your residential contractor, your general contractor has to find a plumber. And that plumber has to say, okay, I got you. And then that plumber has to pull the permit, be inspected, get signed off by the county. Then you can rent the
house. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So
constant bureaucracy.
South Florida's crazy.
Absolutely.
So when you know, and it eats me alive sometimes because I'm on a lot of Facebook pages and I see people advertising, you know, oh, I can do that job for you. Oh, you need tile laid? I can lay tile. Oh, you can't. You know, you can't just lay tile because I have a handyman's license, which really doesn't exist in the state of Florida. It's just a business license, you know? So with the state of Florida, their requirements are as a general contractor, roofing contractor, electrical, plumbing, whatever it may be, if you're going to advertise your business, whether it be on a business card, a t-shirt, trailer, van, car, sign, whatever the case may be, you have to put your Florida issued license number on there. So like when you see these roofing companies, the large roofing companies, and they've got like all these different numbers, CFC, CRC, number this, number that, those are legitimate contractors. Those are the guys that have gone out and got their licenses and can do whatever work you want done. Whereas these guys that say, oh yeah, I'm licensed and insured, that's great. You got a business license, but
they got a driver's license and insurance.
Exactly.
Hey, Robinson. Yeah. We definitely really appreciate you coming in, man. For
Thank
sure.
You very much.
One last question. First of all, where can people find you at? Because are you guys doing residential stuff right now?
I'm trying to make that jump into residential. Yeah. You can email me at hammettservices@gmail.com.
Okay.
And how do you spell Hammett?
Hammett, HAMANT services@gmail.com.
Okay. You on social media at all?
Social media, I'm on Facebook. Yes, we do have a Facebook page, Hammett Home Services, or Hammett Services is our Facebook.
Okay.
No Instagram, but I'm personally on Facebook and personally on Instagram. You can private message me, whatever you need to do. Call me. My number's there. All
And you guys.
And it's Rob Seely, C-E-E-L-E-Y.
L-Y.
Oh, L-Y.
L-Y, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, I want to tell you guys thank you.
And all you local guys, if you need anything done, hit them up. Or I guess if you're in Atlanta.
Atlanta too, very, yeah.
Hot Atlanta.
Union City, all Rick, that.
Give yeah. my man a call.
Yeah, Rick Ross, sure. you yeah. there? You need some help? Rob got you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
he wants to come to the pool party, though. Yeah, okay. No,
Glenn, don't call me.
Yeah.
Glenn, don't call me. I'm not doing more for you.
One final question before we yes, wrap sir. Up. Just yes, based on your life experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give our listeners?
Don't be afraid to fail. Failure makes you stronger, and every time you fail or don't succeed at something, I feel like you learn and take something from that. And I think the more you fail, the more success you will find.
Yeah,
you fail forward.
Yeah, those 10, I always say, you're never losing, you're always either winning or learning.
Yeah.
But those 10 months must have been like...
It was brutal.
Yeah, but anyways.
I'm thankful. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Thank hey, you. Rob, thank you for coming, man.
Hey, man, we appreciate it.
That was a great time. I feel like we could go forever. But.
Dude, I'll talk forever. Thank you.
We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, please make sure you share all our stuff on social media. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at fullgrilllife@gmail.com.
Pressure's off.
Pressure's off, yeah. I don't have to worry about this one. No. And if you want to follow and see what's going on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life and on Twitter at Gorilla Full. Like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
And please do not forget to visit our website, fullgorilla.life. And last but not least, please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap.
Later.